Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
We are joined by Es McCarthy and Tomás Clancy. Good afternoon to you both.
Good Hello. Afternoon.
How are you?
Lovely to have you both here. And Tomás, normally your wine does can come from other parts of the world, but I don't think we've ever had a Chinese wine in the studio before.
Well, I don't think we have, he says. And it's fantastic. This is, I feel like I've arrived back from the future with this, because I think this is, it's an astonishingly good wine. And China has now got more Cabernet Sauvignon, for example, under more vineyard acreage of Cabernet Sauvignon under cultivation than any other country on earth. So the
Crikey.
Future, the
yeah.
future of wine is China with a little dab of India. I think we're going to see Chinese and Indian wine. Certainly over the next 20 or 30 years, you'll see them take off in the way that, you know, Chile, Argentina, maybe even Australia did in the past, and New Zealand. However, this is their first entry of the market, and they've decided to go the other way to the way in which the New World arrived to us 40 years ago in this country and in Europe. And they've decided to go high end. So this is essentially a very expensive bottle of wine.
Okay.
And so they're not going to, I think they'll keep all of the 12-pound bottles of wine for themselves. That's it. That's their market. They're going to supply their own market, and they're going to usurp Chile, Australia and so forth as an import into them, because they import an awful lot of wine. They love wine. They absolutely adore wine. And it's been part of their culture for a long time, although they lost it, but they're getting it back now.
Yeah, and I suppose rice wine, people...
They had rice, but they also had grapes. They had grapes
coming
down the Silk
yeah.
Road. And, yeah. they, you know, there's 8,000-year-old vessels with bits of wine in it from China as well. So they did. They have it. They had it in the past and kind of lost it. But so, yep, we've got Chinese wine in the in today. We also have a lovely, august Italian wine from the Adriatic, a lot cheaper.
Yes. But even saying, though, that China has more a larger area planted with grapes than anywhere else, that is kind of almost meaningless in Chinese terms, because it's such a vast country.
Exactly. I mean, it is extraordinary. They'll still need to import stuff from elsewhere. But the OIV, there's an international organization of the grape, and the OIV, and there's I just love to be, you know, how do you get co-opted onto the board, you know, the meetings, you know, some international sort of, do they float above the sky, the International Grape Organization, somewhere in the Pacific, I feel, anyway. And they're suggesting that probably within the next 5 or 6 years, total acreage of vine will go to China. They'll have more under vine than the rest of the planet combined.
Crikey.
So they really are planting a lot. It's also, you know, the country's vast. And we tend to think of it as being, you know, people think of it as sweltering heat, and, you know, Beijing and some of these other sort of, you get that kind of subtropical almost feel to it. But there's a lot in the north, and the Gobi Desert, and obviously there's a lot of cold portions. So what you're looking at here is opening up vast areas in the interior, and they have vast areas of unplanted land that are quite suitable for grapes and grape planting. And they're doing it in the same way that they have basically knocked out, surpassed, and ground sort of Apple and Samsung into the dirt, if you will. And they're producing everything for all Samsung and Apple. They're going to do the same. They're doing the same with cars. 75% drop in imports in cars into China from Britain in the last quarter, because they're making their own. And they're good, and they're interesting, and they've got supercars as well. They're going to do the same for many products, and I think wine is definitely one of them.
Because I suppose, I mean, China's a vast country, but it's also, in terms of economically, it's a very divided country. So
Hugely.
Their wine business is really kind of the urban, the upgrowing, the swelling middle class in the urban areas.
Exactly. And the brilliance of it is that it gives a very high cash crop to the farmers that are out there. It will help the Chinese economy if it's planted in the way that they're planning it, because they're going to swap out for rice, a low income commodity, which will then be pushed. You'll find that going to North Korea. You know, you'll find that too. You know, that could suddenly become a huge cash crop for other countries in the region that can grow it, then can supply rice to China as Chinese agriculture sort of cascades its way up into this high sort of product. Like, if we could get the price of grapes for potatoes, you know, and the same reverence for them. For example, you know, beautiful Tipperary potatoes from the south-facing slopes, you know, that are planted early and picked well, and, you know, and it's there, you know, we could do it because there are one or two kind of weird, very strange, very expensive potatoes around the world, orange and purple and strangely interesting ones from Cornwall and Argentina. This could be very interesting for them. Because they could suddenly elevate these people, the large agricultural mass near the large cities, you know, over 20 million people in them, into their own middle class as well, and keep the ball rolling for the world economy, which I think we'll all be happy with.
Plus, also, I assume that there mightn't be a lot of native expertise, or is there in winemaking? Are they importing a lot of people from other parts of the world?
You're absolutely right. There are a lot of where this is, and I'm going to, you know, be attacked by many people, I hope. Nanji is how I pronounce it.
Okay.
Or Ningxi. It's Ningxia. Ningxi. And that province is 1,200 kilometers west of Beijing. In other words, basically from us to Norway, you know, to Oslo. You know, it's like...
it's just a trip down the road.
They just run down the road to this place. It's, you know, it really has, you know, it has great potential to produce this high quality material. But they've imported all the people like Chandon, Moët and Chandon are there. Pernod Ricard are there. You know, so all of the big players have a little something in this thing in the Ningxi province. The Ningxi province, the Napa Valley of China.
Okay.
There's about 17 wine areas. I know a lot more about it than I did 5 days ago. Yeah. Let me tell you, I've never visited, so yeah. I haven't been to China. So this is one of these ones where I'm overwhelmed with the desire to go and see what they have there. But they have about 15 of these large areas, one kind of that's in close to a city, and then this. And this is their tenderloin upmarket one. This is their Bordeaux. Mm. And it sits on the 37th degree of longitude.
Right.
So that's the same one as Napa.
It's absolutely
identical to it. But it's a little, and it's high up. It's kind of a slope in what's called the Helan Mountains, and you'll see on the bottle of this when we come to it, or I suppose we're at it now. But at the bottle of this here it's called Pretty Pony. I think it's probably the worst name you could possibly imagine.
Yes, it is. It's a terrible name.
Pretty Pony. But it's from the Kenan Winery. We'll talk about. I'll tell you all about it later on. He says,
it's just
the coming thing. It's amazing.
Yeah. So. Livia Coleman, you must have been delighted.
It was great.
That she got that award.
I'm sure Element were delighted as well, because the second last...
Well, they were probably relieved.
It was the second last award of the night. Yeah. So I'm sure, they probably were a little relieved.
Because you thought they were in the bag for script writing and
I was astonished that they didn't get the screenplay. And that was telling me then, once Green Book got the screenplay, I knew the preferential ballot system for Best Picture was going to kick in, and it was going to get... Best Picture on the basis of second, third preference votes. So it was really interesting this year.
A lot of people seem to get it wrong. It was fun to go back at people's, you know, lots of people's articles predicting who was going to get what. And
I hope you deleted my. it was interesting. I really thought. They had that the favourite would have had it in the bag for costume design and production design as well. I had them tagged for three, and for Olivia to get pipped by Glenn Close. So that'll tell you how right I was.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody thought Glenn Close had it in the bag.
Yeah, yeah. It was a case of like it was her sixth, it was her seventh nomination, I think. So it was a case of paying her dues. Yeah. But I feel maybe that not enough people saw the film in hindsight. Maybe that was what worked against
right.
her.
Right. Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. Mm. Well, her performance was very good in a film that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can work against you as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's because So maybe it just stood out as being particularly good compared to what was around it.
I felt sorry for Glenn Close though, because she actually arrived dressed as an Oscar. Did you see the gold dress?
I didn't know.
She actually looked like a Glenn Close Oscar. And it was tough. Oh, no. So hopefully the great parts will keep coming for her because she's brilliant.
Right, okay, so the two films we're doing today, well, let's start with the Irish film. This is a horror film,
yeah,
The Hole in the Ground.
A lot of anticipation for this one, The Hole in the Ground. It's a debut feature from a filmmaker by the name of Lee Cronin, starring Shauna Kerslake, who I know a lot of people saw that her fabulous
Mad
performance
Mary, yeah.
from her over Christmas in A Date with Mad Mary. And this one caused a big stir because it got to Sundance, which already kind of built a little bit of anticipation. You have to be good to get to Sundance, you know. And it had its world premiere there just last month, actually. And it got rave reviews from international critics, and it got swiftly picked up by a US distribution company by the name of A24, which helped make Hereditary such a success last summer.
Okay.
It's a big hit. So no pressure, guys, no pressure. but it's great news for Irish film. It's a big commercial, unashamedly commercial film, which is kind of what I think we should be making more of here. And it is, horror seems to become an unfashionable word, and psychological thriller, whatever that means, seems to become the new horror.
Right.
So let's call it a psychological thriller.
Okay.
And it's centered around this young mother who moves to a new remote house in the country because she's never seen a horror film. She doesn't know how to say it.
And she hears a noise and goes to investigate.
And the house has a basement, of course. And she has this very close relationship with her young son, who's, there's so much talk about how great Shauna Kerslake is in this, and it's all deserved. But can I just say, scary child, James Quinn Markey, he is brilliant in it. And he, his casting, I think, is crucial to the film in the sense that it's a movie that can kind of keep its poker face and hide its hand until well, well into the story, which is kind of why it's so effective.
Okay, yeah. And the other movie we're going to be talking about today is Fighting With My Family, but we've run out of time, so we'll tell you all about that after this break.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. And all this week on the show, we've been giving away cash prizes with 123.ie. All you have to do, if the person who gets lucky enough to come on air and answer the questions, all you have to do is answer 1, 2, or 3 questions. Each question has a cash prize attached to it. If you get question 1 correct, you win 200 quid. If you get question 2 correct, you win 500 quid. And today, if you get question 3 correct, you win 2,100 quid. However, if you get any of them wrong, you're out. You win nada. But it's up to you to choose how far you want to progress in this particular competition. And that's with thanks to 123.ie. No need to go to extraordinary lengths to get a good deal on your car insurance. So text the word cash, along with your name, to 53106. That will cost you 30 cents. And we will randomly pick actually a person or people. For later on in the show, we're going to put them on there to ask them those questions, and we'll see how everybody does. Esther and Tomas are with us for Movies and Booze. Someone sent in a picture for Tomas to look at. I'm looking to get some information about a hopefully rare bottle of Courvoisier I inherited from a family member some years ago. I would be looking to sell it, as I don't really have any interest in drinking. So I was hoping for any details about how much it would be worth and where I could go to sell it. It would be helpful. I've attached some pictures so you can see what it looks like. Tomas, are they going to be millionaires by Christmas?
Well, they won't be millionaires. They won't be 135 million and dodging interviews.
Yes.
But they will be better off. I've got the picture here in front of me, and it is a nice bottle, and you have the packaging, which is apparently very important. People are obsessed with packaging in these auction houses. There's a thing called irishwhiskyauctions.ie or .com, but if you punch that into Google, you'll find that. And that's, I would say, that's your location for selling this. This is one of these rare bottlings that is really from the Asia-Pacific basin. And it reflects the kind of huge high-end interest that kind of Japan and China and sort of South Korea have in whiskies and cognacs and so forth. And they're very big. They're very highly traded as gifts as well, or were until the slight crackdown on inverted commas gifting in China there a couple of years ago, which put a big dent into many of the cognac companies' sort of top end or their bottom line. Because all of these, you know, £600 bottles with beautiful alabaster sort of cases are meant to be given as presents and never drunk. So what you've got here is, and I see from it that when I squint, that it was bought in a duty-free, and I suggest far away. There's crackling on the bottle, which I think if you take it out, you should see it's kind of got a gold flaky thing on the outside of it when you come to look at it. That's no longer allowed under many, many regulations, and will come off in your hand. Don't touch it.
Right. Asbestos or something.
No, it's flaky metal, but it can cut you and all the rest of it.
Oh, right,
but
okay.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And people did this in the 60s and 70s without a care or thought in their mind for health and safety. Now you wouldn't get that bottle through any kind of control. So that's a smashing bottle. They've gone between, from what I can see, is around about 180 is the cheapest you could possibly imagine, right through to about 550. So, you know, I'd say you pop it up there, and if you got willing buyers, you might get 300 or 400 for it, and that would be a good meal.
Okay,
average.
That's no harm there. James from Limerick says, heading to Minnesota in the States, I'm assuming I won't get local wine there. Any suggestions of American wine I can try?
You will get Minnesotan wine. There's now wine made in every state in the United States of America, including Alaska and Hawaii. That is the proud boast of the American Viticultural Association. They get two vintages in Hawaii. Twice a year, the grapes flower and grow. I've tasted some of it. It's indifferent. I think that's the way I describe it. Indifferent. What it is if you chill it down and have it with very good fish, it's fine.
Yeah.
And Claw in Dublin, there's a few Claw restaurants, and they serve beautiful fresh fish. And they have a couple of these Hawaiian wines out there because they're doing the Claude, they've got the Hawaiian, they were doing Hawaiian dishes as well.
Crikey.
So you can try that there before you go. Minnesotan wine, I'd skip that and look for the Californian wine that they have there. Or Texas Riesling and Gewürztraminer, which is fabulous.
Okay. The Hole in the Ground is a film where we're going to be talking about later on. Someone says, all the horrifying vocal sounds on soundtrack to The Hole in the Ground were recorded by the Irish choir Crux Vocal Ensemble. Which is also heard in the Pilgrimage movie and many episodes of The Vikings. We did not know that. Thank you for letting us know.
And a very fine job they did as well.
Yeah. And did they do the William Wallace song in it, I wonder?
I'm not sure.
Because we were talking about that.
Yeah, it's really effective.
Adam says, I saw a trailer for What Men Want, which is about a woman who can hear men's thoughts. This is the remake then, obviously.
Yeah.
So know what they're thinking, and scandal unfolds. It's just like the movie What Women Want with Mel Gibson. I remember all the narrative around Mel Gibson's version being sexist and outdated. Why is it acceptable now that it's from the other perspective, says Adam, whose little snowflake feelings are hurt.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know whether they get away with it tonally, but I'll be seeing it next week, actually.
Yeah. When is Jordan Peele's new movie Us out? I loved Get Out, which has just come to Netflix. Can't wait for this one, says Cahill.
Yeah, it is getting a world premiere next week and then getting released in the US on the 22nd of March. I'm not sure if it's the same release date in Ireland, but it should be pretty soon after that, if not the same week.
Maura wants to know, how many glasses of wine should you get out of a bottle? My husband and I are having 10 people for dinner and we have one case of wine. Will we run out? We have other drinks, but that's all the wine we have.
One case, a 12-bottle case of wine for 10 people,
Okay, so that's a bottle and a bit each.
Yeah, I think you'll be absolutely fine. It's a philosophical question.
yes, it is.
one that many of us sit around contemplating very, very deeply. Many people feel very vigorous that one bottle per person sounds like a fine thing. No, you will get, for instance, you will get an easy 6 to 8 glasses out of a bottle of wine, of a human sized glass.
Hmm.
So you should be aiming to do that, and maybe 3 or 4 glasses per person. So really, you know, for 10 people there, if you have 5 or 6 bottles, you'll be more than well placed. If you have 12, I'm sure they can be taking some home as a gift.
Depends on the people.
Exactly.
Yeah, really, one would have thought. Noel says, could you ask your wine expert, could he recommend a red wine for someone who's moving from White Sauvignon Blanc from Marlborough, to be precise?
Right.
Don't laugh, we all have to start somewhere. I've tried Beaujolais Village, but didn't like it, found it way too dry. Please don't recommend Ribena. Says no.
Right. Well, you know, Merlot is what sounds, you know, the obvious thing that people do is they say, you know, they'll send you towards Zinfandel, which has that kind of strawberry sweetness that will bring you over the hump of the dryness of essentially Beaujolais. I wouldn't move from moving. It's like putting your hands under hot water and cold water. It's the change is exaggerated from high acidity Sauvignon Blanc. I would move, if I was you, towards sort of a Chilean Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot, which will give you the little bit of sweetness, but it has enough savouriness to set you on the path towards true happiness.
Okay. 6 to 8 glasses I hear. I get 3 in a bit, max. Says Rona. There's a few texts like that.
I imagine. I did a tasting where I managed to get 20 little tasting glasses out of one bottle. It was my finest ever. Very tight pour.
Yeah, but as you say, tasting glasses.
That's glasses. Just if you're at a wedding, you know, they most weddings suggest maybe 4 to 6 glasses per bottle.
Yes,
is what they're doing, and that's the only time it really, you know, it becomes vital from a financial point of view to look at.
Yeah, I do remember like the Radio Awards last year in the Lyrith. Like, they basically filled your glass with wine. Because I assume from the very common sense point of view that the waiting staff were going, well, I don't have to come back anyway. Yeah, somebody will just fill it up.
Well,
you know?
It's very, especially in the, if you've got a large crowd like that, there's a big temptation to get 2 runs around done on one go.
Yeah. Can you get Middle Eastern wine? Of course you can.
Absolutely, yes. Lebanese wine, of course, is widely available. Chateau Musar and Kaifaras.
Yeah, that's, you can get that anywhere. You can get that in any supermarket. Claude Ngoi says, I've had 2 bottles of wine in the back of my car for the last 6 months and I finally took them out. They've endured the heat of the car for over the winter. I'm afraid to open them nearly. Have I ruined them now? Both bottles of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're
really
dead.
Have.
Just don't even try it. Just into the bin and forget about them.
Yeah, I would have thought not. Yeah.
Unless they're very expensive, in which case you could cry and then throw them in the bin.
Yes. Has Tomás... Now, this is a whiskey question. Okay. Has Tomás tasted Conor McGregor's whiskey? I thought it was grand, but a friend didn't like it at all. Any thoughts? Be careful with your answers, perhaps in case he's listening.
It's a fine whiskey.
Have you tasted it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think there's been a few... Well, no, now... There's a new one he has out again. He's another one out, which I haven't tasted, a second one. Mm. But there was a sample going... Samples were sent around and people were... First of all, let's put it this way. He didn't make it.
Yes. And did he have anything to do with it?
He had something to do with the branding.
Other than signing a contract to put his name on it.
So I think probably... you know, you're looking at, you know, don't be trying to associate whether it's any good from his perspective. The reality is that they bought it from good sources. And there's only 3 or 4, you know, functioning distilleries in the country. And they bought it from one of those. No matter the new one, which I haven't, I know there's one new one that's gone out today. Mm. Or maybe it's the current one that's just gone into Britain. It's got from good sources. So it won't be bad, right? So it wouldn't, you know, none of them are bad, you know, and it could be, and it's not, I'm not saying that because we're in any way worried about a response from Mr. McGregor. But they most every Irish whiskey that's out there is actually reasonably good. They've got a very good baseline. Because there's no distilleries out there making a mass of rubbish. We're still at the stage where there's only 4 or 5 distilleries, so they're all making decent good wine.
Whiskey. I don't know when it comes to whiskey, though, or wine or anything. Now, I know like Graham Norton's wine actually is a good wine, and he's been involved in making that wine. But why is there anybody, particularly in buying things like wine or whiskey, that are so stupid you're going to buy it just because somebody's name is on it? Well, really, you know, rather than whether it's good or bad, I would have thought.
The astonishing thing is that I have a horrible feeling that the answer is, we won't say stupid, but they're curious, hugely curious people. Sarah Jessica Parker is coming out with a wine which is going to be launched in Ireland in the next week. And there'll be Sarah Jessica Parker wine. It's for the same people called Invivio who make Graham Norton's wine for him or with him. So there's obviously now a new market. It was, for the last 10 years, it's been furry animals. For the next 10 years, it could be furry presenters and attractive or unattractive sort of stars.
Yes.
I think stars are going to be the next thing. Although the Pogues whiskey has been around for 10, 15 years.
I didn't even know there was a Pogues
whiskey. There's a Pogues whiskey.
Right.
And they've been making that for a very long time and perfectly nice whiskey.
Fair few people have texted in about that William Wallace song in the Hole in the Garden. It's Lisa Hannigan who sings it.
Ah,
Yeah. Well, certainly the version at the end is sung by Lisa Hannigan.
Yeah.
Garroge says, I want to see Cold Pursuit. You know what? Wasn't that bad. We need to allow Liam Neeson to move on. Please and thank you. Maybe we do. I don't know. I suppose it's not even a movie issue in a way, you know.
I went to see it. It was stupid. It was so stupid. I had been hearing.
But a lot of the reviews are it's for a format that's intellectually untaxing. Let us say it's one of the better ones.
Yeah, I'd been hearing that it was one of the better ones, but I was really disappointed in it. Now I thought, other than the ingenuity of using a snowplow,
that implies you had expectations.
I did.
I can't wait for this.
I always do.
Some quality ass kicking here. And Elaine in Kilcullen says, my parents were gifted some red wine when they visited China. I know it was expensive, as the person who gave it to them only buys super expensive stuff. It was kept for Christmas. Oh dear Lord, it was awful. Very musty. I hope you can convince me to try another Chinese wine. Okay, off you go, Tomas.
Okay, he says. Well, I think we can. First of all, there has been Chinese wine occasionally that has cropped up on the European and world market. I won't say the names of them, but one of them sounded like a thing that you find in necklaces that come from the bottom of the sea and that are white.
Yeah.
And that was of very, very, very modest quality. And that tended to follow around and you'd find it in Chinese restaurants.
Yeah.
Okay, you'd find it in Chinese restaurants. So this that wave was really planted very close to the big cities, which are in the many of them are in subtropical and very, very hot, completely inappropriate zones for vine production. Vine production needs a good, lovely summer that lasts about 2 to 3 months, 100 days, and then cold the rest of the time.
Mm.
So it's actually Vitis vinifera emerged in the mountains of Turkey and Georgia on the edge of the Black Sea. That's where this plant comes to life a million years ago, or 20 million years ago. So it's not a plant of the desert or of high heat. So what they've done is they have spent the last 20 years buying great wine from all around the world, finding out what they like and looking at where it could go.
Yeah.
And they have now isolated. They're very, very, they have a long-term view on everything. The lady who's responsible for this, her name is called Wang Fang. And her family, the Fang family, own this winery. Her father was a farmer and moved into trying to produce wine about, 25 years ago.
Mm.
And
now,
has
Wang Fang been making wine for years? I'm just saying her name a lot because it makes Esther laugh. That's why.
Wang Fang herself went to Germany and spent 10 years in Germany making wine, and looking at wine and examining wine. You'll be happy to know that they, on the website for Canaan Winery in Ninjiang or Ningxia, she prefers to be called Crazy Fang.
Right.
Rather than Wang Fang.
Okay, yeah, because Wang Fang is just a silly name, right? Crazy Wang is much better.
Well,
yeah.
It seems to play better with English language speaking people.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
Hello, Crazy.
But we will call her Wang Fang.
Okay.
And she had spent a lot of time in Germany and she tasted a lot of Bordeaux wines and so forth and a lot of Burgundy and a lot of Napa, I think. And obviously a lot of German wine. And what this wine is, if we'll move on to look at it. This wine is a Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot blend, where it's 90% Cabernet Sauvignon and 10% Merlot.
Mm.
I reckon, because it's the same temperature and 37 degrees as Napa, there's a sweetness at the end of this, which is the Merlot. But there's a big savory element to the front of it.
Yeah.
And that's what she's going for. She's going for this savoriness of Bordeaux. And it's very young. I mean, this one is actually quite old. This is the 2013. But it's still very youthful. And she's built and made this wine like a great Bordeaux. That's the unique and fascinating difference between Australia and China now, having done this. The Australians came to Europe in the 50s and 60s. They looked at Bordeaux wines and Rhone wines, and they said, ugh, I see where they are now. Where are they at their best? They're at their best after 10 and 20 years.
Mm.
And what they did was they tasted 10 and 20-year-old wine from the Rhone and Bordeaux and said, how can we reverse engineer it so that it tastes just like a brilliant 10-year-old or 20-year-old wine tomorrow?
yeah.
when we release it. Whereas what we've got here is somebody making it hand-picked, hand massaged, you know, a high degree of effort into every section of this. They're making it exactly like a big Bordeaux. I think if you loved, you know, Chasseblin in the old, you know, a Cru Bourgeois that was about 50 euros in the old days, you're going to love this. If you loved 20 or 30 years ago, class growths like Lievel Barton and Lievel Escasse, all these big names, here is a way of getting that kind of wine right now at prices that were those prices, 50 euros back then. Mm. This is a 55 euro wine.
Wow.
So they're not messing around. Mm. They're not trying to come in at 12 and see can they knock some mass consumer market off at that. This is this winery is set right up against the mountains. I've seen the photographs. The huge mountain range is behind it. That mountain range goes off to the Gobi Desert. You know, in the end. That's where it ends up. And so it's full of it's called the Helan Mountains, which is this is the part of the horse thing here. The Helan Mountains. Helan is horse.
Hence the pretty pony.
Yeah. And so all of this is kind of just at the edge of the desert and the endless high plains. So what you've got is you've got this horse culture there. So all of the wines, like first one's called their entry level one's called Wild Pony, next one's called Black Beauty, Pied This, etc. And this is Pretty Pony, the top one, the one you'd give as the great gift. Mm. And so that's why it's there. Now it seems a bit strange and fey to us because we're thinking, you know, toys and all kinds of other kind of nonsense to it. But it has a deeper horse meaning to them. I think they need to rethink that. I think in 5 years' time, this will be just called the Canaan Winery's Grand Van. You know, it's going to be just their big.
I like that there is Chinese characters on it. They're not hiding that it's Chinese. No. They're not pretending it's kind of faux French or anything like that. It's a new kind of a brand.
It has a lovely etching to it, and it's shiny. The words shine out like to me. It looks like Blade Runner.
And the
horse has got a bit of the unicorn from Blade Runner to it. So that's, I think it's very modern, very charming. You'll find it in Mitchell and Sons, big independence everywhere.
Is it strong?
It's good. It's a whopping 14%.
Tasted it.
Could even be a little higher than that. Yeah. One feels.
One imagines. And finally, somebody's texting to say, I've been driving for more than an hour now and I'm still not home. I hope I can make it to the bank before it closes. Well, we just don't know. Ah, really? Because you've texted entirely the wrong people. We'll take a break after that. I assume the hole in the ground.
Movies and Booze.
On Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl. More for you.
Stuart Mack and Scissor Jeep looks like something a Fida Fall would drive.
Who's Stuart Mack and?
In my class.
Is he your friend?
He's an ass face.
Hey.
Can I say anus face?
No.
But it's a science word. Mom, look out!
Are you alright? Chris, are you alright?
Yeah.
Don't move. Are you okay? I didn't see you. You came out of nowhere.
There you go. I'd be delighted if my kids only said ass face in terms of bad words. Right, that's the hole in the ground. Is that early? I assume
that's
this
very
is early,
early
in the film.
And there's a woman who looks a bit crazy, clad in white in the middle of the road. So we're kind of given a lot of classic pointers and references to other films in this, and I think Lee Cronin's been quite open about that. There's a kind of element of The Shining to it. I remember meeting them himself and Shauna at something recently, and Shauna pointed at the carpet and went, that's like The Shining carpet. So it was team-orama around this one, but it's really, really good, this. Living up to all of the hype, I think, and I think it could be a real game changer for Shauna Kerslake, this one. When it gets US release, I think you're going to see a lot of casting agents asking, who's that girl?
Yeah.
Because she's really good. And it's a very shrewd piece of casting as well, because this is no screaming female character in a horror film to which things happen.
Yeah.
This is a woman who is, you know, she's strong. She's, it's, implied that she's had domestic violence. It's never, you're never told, but she has a cut on her head and she's moved and she is deflecting questions from her son about his father.
Right.
So that's
okay.
kind of, you know, keep your audience guessing, which is the real trick of a successful horror film, I think, and keep them guessing for as long as possible. So you're kind of wondering about that. And she moves into this, as I said, she's never seen a horror film before in her life. So she moves into this remote area where there's a large sinkhole in the woods at the back of the house.
Yeah.
And there is a basement in the house as well, as if we weren't going to get spooked enough. And it's kind of then the whole idea it tips on, I suppose, is her son disappears one day and goes into the woods and she's panicking and can't find him. And when he returns, she starts to suspect that he could be a changeling, that he could be not her son anymore.
Yeah.
There are little indicators, like we've seen him say that he doesn't like Parmesan cheese, and then he comes in and tucks into the Parmesan out of the fridge.
Mm.
He's terrified of spiders, but she peeks through the keyhole at one stage and sees him playing with a spider on the ground and then attempting to eat it in what is one of the film's eeriest scenes, I have to say. And the whole idea is her character, Sarah, having a mental breakdown? Is there some other trauma at play, or is all as it seems? So you're seeing everything through the eye of one character, so you could be getting waylaid by that character.
Yeah.
It's very clever. It's I think Shauna and James, actually, the James Kinmarkey, who plays the little boy, they have a brilliant dynamic together. And I think the film lives and succeeds on their performances, I think. But there is some really good production elements at play here as well. I'm not sure what the budget was, but it looks like a big commercial horror film that just happens to have people with Irish accents.
Right, great.
You know,
yeah.
Which is great. I would imagine all of the money is up there in the screen. I would say I can't imagine with a first feature film that they had a budget of their dreams to play with. So well done to all involved. The sound is used very well. It can be a bit overimposing at times, in fact. And my only other beef with the film is once it shows its hand, it loses some of its tension. But it's properly eerie. And there is one underground scene in particular where she has to go deep into the sinkhole too, and it's a lengthy scene that's shot, and it's really quite unnerving, actually.
Yeah.
So if you love having the BJs scary, yeah, right, yeah, like, right. You will enjoy this.
Right. Somebody's texted in, who's seen it already, said I got to see The Hole in the Ground last month at a preview. I would have been happy if they had. It's funny now, because they're one of their complaints is actually part of the reason why you praised it. I would have been happy if they even had finished one of the plot lines. Also, they say it was visually too dark and the girl was from Talla, but somehow had given birth to a child from Dublin 4. Well, actually, there's nothing unusual about that last point at all.
Well, on the plotting, I won't say anything about plotting other than I found the ending of the film very satisfactory. They don't make obvious choices, I think, and that makes it even a little bit more clever.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. You really liked it then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good. I like that it got made. I like that we're making commercial films like this now. And I like that it's got the legs to travel. And it's, as I said, already been picked up for US distribution. Variety are among the people, the international film critics who were full of praise for Shauna in the film. I think they said basically Shauna Kerslake is a star. And I would definitely concur with that.
Yeah, and she is.
And she has absolutely no interest in the fame element of it. I interviewed her recently. She's a really down-to-earth person and a very great talent, and it's great to see her breaking through.
Yeah. I see people are getting excited for the next Marvel Avenger movie. Is that the end of it now? Esther, please say yes. I'm so done with this franchise.
They're never going to end. They're going to keep making them forever and ever, and everyone will end up in everyone else's film or something like that.
They have like flying Zimmer frames. Samantha says, I watched the new Rebel Wilson Netflix movie. Isn't it romantic? While in the seven fiery pits of hungoverness, and even that didn't make it good. God, what a terrible movie. It sent me into the eighth fiery pit. It was that bad.
I haven't seen it, but did Serena review it last week? Yeah. What did she make of it?
She liked it. So there you go. Declan in Offaly says, I'm cooking an array of potatoes for dinner as my wife is 7 months pregnant and only craves potatoes. So I'm doing buttered mash, baked, roast, fluffy garlic and potatoes gravis. Can you recommend a wine to go with our carb feast, says Declan. Presumably this is just for Declan, seeing his wife 7 months pregnant.
Yes, I would think non-alcoholic response on the on that side. And on his side, a Chardonnay. Chardonnay is going to go with all of those potato things. So a nice big sort of Chardonnay from Australia, Cullen, or the Wolf Blass Yellow Label is really good, well-priced Chardonnay. Will go well with those.
Has Tomas tasted the Sarah Jessica Parker wine? I bet it's overly dressed, overpriced and shaped like a shoe.
No, but I am now very intrigued to taste it next week. Yes.
Paul says, I have a small bottle of Jameson whiskey cleverly designed as a bottle of perfume. It was made for the Japanese market, apparently. The bottle allows them to sit in on their bedroom table without looking out of place.
Excellent. I love it already.
Yeah, Paul wants to know how much it's worth.
All of those, again, there's been no real market for it, but this thing, IrishWhiskeyAuctions.com, which I have no connection to, just in case anyone's thinking, I don't know who they are, but they've started this up about at Christmas time. They're enthusiasts, they're Irish whiskey enthusiasts, and they're selling all this kind of stuff, empty bottles. I was practically bidding on one, which was Middleton. Very rare, and it seemed to be only €50, and I thought, well, I might well throw in my hand on this, and it turned out to be an empty bottle in a box. I don't know what people are paying for this, but there you go, you know, so you could sell it on that.
Yeah, and people pay anything for anything, as I was telling them there during the break. And Porik wants to know, any updates on who the new James Bond will be?
No, I think Craig is on board to do another one. I think the release date got pushed back a couple of months ago, so we're not going to be looking at a Bond movie this year. I'd say it would be 2020. Yeah.
The hashtag, by the way, is sucking movies. I'll see if I can find any that I can read out after this break.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Five 3 106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cent. I heard all those lovely spud dishes, says the text, and immediately thought of red wine. Then again, I thought about my drive ahead of me and thought about red wine. Maybe don't go by me. Yeah, probably just as well. What is Thomas's ideal cheese board to accompany his wine? I've a Graffa one tonight. Would love cheese recommendations with a nice full-bodied red wine, says Cara.
Oh, you know, I mean, you can't go wrong with Brie, you know, if it's very widely available. But Comté for me. Mm. Comté, a hard, cold Comté cheese with sherry, with sweet wine, with wine from the Savoy and the Jura, unbelievably beautiful. Reblochon, also lovely as well.
I'll make up for some cheese myself tonight, now that you've said all that. Right, let's see what our second wine is all about tomorrow.
Our second wine today is from the March region, or the Marche region in Italy, which is on the flip side, on the other side to Rome. So the other bit, the Adriatic side. And it's about an hour's drive south of San Marino. Now, for some reason, it's always associated with Venice, but that's really another 2 hours north. And this thing is south of Florence. So I think of it really as an Adriatic wine. This is Villa Bucci Verdicchio, Classico Superiore from Marche. It's around about $18.99 a bottle. It's really a fabulous, fabulous wine and overlooked. The Marche region, or the Marche region of Italy, being on the other side, just really over the Apennines from Rome, is really the breadbasket of central Italy. And there's huge wheat fields and corn fields, and you feel you could just go in there and make cornflakes from almost everything that you see. It's full of olive oil, sort of olive trees and everything. And so what the wine was really just cheap and cheerful wine for the fishing industry that was there. And so you get that kind of Muscadet de Sauvignon kind of Loire feel out of a lot of the wines. But The Verdicchio, coming from the Classico Superior area, is a little bit more sophisticated. The Villa Bucci, the Bucci family have been in their estate now for 600 years.
Ooh,
and they've been uninterested in making wine for all that time. They've had too much money out of every other source of income they possibly have. The villa is just one of these impossibly beautiful, sort of a beautiful Renaissance delight. And you just think, well, I don't think I would even raise my hand to in effort with all this around me, but they have. And in 83 they decided to get into the winemaking business. They've got 26 hectares given out of their 500 hectare estate to this, so it's a minor event.
Yes,
but they've thrown a heap of cash at it, and this is a beautiful lip-smacking wine for people who like Sauvignon Blanc but would like to come back from the acidity on it. So it's dry, very dry and flat. It's begging for fish and, you know, high crackled, well toasty sort of prawns. So it has to have an edge to it. This counters the kind of the kind of fried crispy element, or the lobster, you know, lobster bisque and so forth. So it's something high like that. It won't overwhelm it. And then as you let it move on the palate, it has enough acidity to cut through it and balance on it. Mm. Has a nice nose, sort of apricot-y kind of nose. But it's really playing in the Sauvignon Blanc notes and field for the end of it. So if you find that New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is running up to €25 a bottle for the one that you like, here's one for around the 20 mark, and in fact $18.99 in terroirs of Donnybrook and other independent off-license around the country. You could enjoy it. I think it's a charming, charming wine, and it has it really has a good history behind it.
Yes, it's very nice. Yes, and it's about 20 quid.
Yeah, about 20 quid.
As you say. Right, the hashtag is sucking movies, by the way. Betty blue in the face for one example of that. Just think about it. Our next film is Fighting with the Family. Here's a clip.
When's the last time you spoke to your family?
A couple of weeks ago.
Well, I think we should call them.
You want to call my family?
I would like to call your family. So what's their number?
What?
It's Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, and I'm Vin Diesel, mate.
Well, let's hope not. No, it is Mr. Knight. It's Dwayne Johnson. How are you?
Prove it.
Okay. If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
I'm sorry.
There you go. That's and this is based on a true story.
It's probably the most famous person I've never heard of, but I'm kind of in love with her. I'm going to be watching Paige wrestling from now on. She's a great character, brought brilliantly to life by the English actress Florence Pugh. Who was so good last year in Lady Macbeth and is just knocking it out of the park here again today. I really enjoyed this. It's kind of like a ridiculously broad English comedy about wrestling. And you can see some of the gags coming a mile off. But I really enjoyed the experience watching it, you know, mostly because of the personalities involved. So this girl, her real name is Rara Jade Knight, and herself and her brother and her wrestling crazy parents are they practice in their local gym in Norwich, and I suppose the family are every bit as rough around the edges as you'd hope a wrestling family from Norwich are. So there's a lot of fun had with that. But the two siblings get an opportunity to try out for WWE, which is basically they get to go to wrestling camp in America and try and see if they got what it takes to be a star. But the brother doesn't get there. It's just this character who becomes Paige who goes there. So not only does she kind of have to go over and prove that she's got what it takes, but she has to kind of do so without the presence of her family for the first time when she's quite young. So it's all of that. She's a goth, so I kind of want. I need a wrestling goth in my life. I'm just totally on board with her. She's a great character, and then you kind of look at the conventions of wrestling, and she's the only one there who's probably a real athlete. A lot of the female stars of wrestling come in through modeling and other, you know, health and fitness, but not they haven't grown up in the kind of grit of wrestling, I suppose. So she feels at odds with these other characters and she's trying to fit in. And it's just Stephen Merchant writing and directing here. And it's just got the script really sparkles in it, even when you can see some of the lines coming. It's just it's very well paced. It moves along at a cracking pace. And I really did enjoy this one. I have to say, really did enjoy it. Pleasant surprise. The wrestling movie, I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, and we did hear The Rock there, but The Rock is there as himself.
He pops up. Yeah, it's a little cheeky having him on one of the lead billings, because he pops up in two small cameo scenes where he's kind of giving her the motivational talk. But of course, The Rock's presence in the movie is always welcome.
Yeah, no harm at all. Yep. Right, okay, that's our two movies. That's our wine time to hopefully give away some money in conjunction with 123.ie. Just